Today is the 5th August 2021, Thursday class. We will be sharing from this book the essence of infinite meaning, teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Gu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 354, I think. Yeah, 54. Third paragraph. Okay. Just relax body and mind, maintain some awareness, then we will start the meditation. As usual, we will have our half an hour awareness-based meditation. So we'll off the light, then you can commence your meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. Be at ease. Whatever problem or what you have, just tell the mind. Allow me to have the space to meditate. Do not disturb me until the meditation is over. So what we are going to develop now is awareness-based meditation. Means we are here to train our mind to be silent, quiet, without thought. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. And your understanding of the step to train this awareness-based meditation is the four support, especially the first three. First is to relax body and mind. Let things be at ease. Whatever arise, let it arise. Do not resist, do not fight, do not try to know, do not try to do anything. Just be a observer, silent observer. Relax. Then maintain awareness, the second support. The third support is to stabilize the awareness, means to maintain the awareness for as long as you can. And because as a human being, we have a physical body and a mind or consciousness which is trapped inside. So this consciousness will make contact with your sense organ or sense basis. It can trigger off hearing, smell, taste, tactile, sensation, or thought process, thinking, emotion, reaction, whatever. Whatever arises, let it arise. Do not resist. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Just silent. Relax. Be at ease. The moment you are silent, relax, and at ease, you are aware. Naturally aware. No need to try to be aware. Then the awareness is whatever arises, aware. Finish. It can be a hearing. Conscious of the hearing. Don't try to go and perceive and do anything. Just aware. Finish. Sometimes, because of your memory aware, then the memory perceive, okay, never mind, just let it be. After that, don't allow the thought to proliferate or continue to create story or thinking. Otherwise, your heedless thinking will not end. Otherwise, your thought process, your sankara activity will continue to proliferate. Then you cannot settle down. If you cannot settle down, you cannot realize your true mind, your silent mind. You cannot develop this awareness-based meditation. So awareness-based meditation, you need just relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it for as long as you can. Then finally, when you can do that, you will move on to the last support, which is trust. Trust your nature to be aware and to move, to meditate on its own. Don't interfere with the thought process. So by doing this, you are all the time training your mind to be aware, to realize your true mind, to realize your silent mind, which is also your meditative mind, so that you will know what that nature is. Then from that nature, because you are aware, what happened? how it creates thought process, how it creates contact with the sense basis, how it triggers off consciousness, how your memory, conditioning, views and opinion comes in, and how the mundane mind gets itself entangled with the content of consciousness that you put in. The content of consciousness is based on your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, and whatever that you have deposited or collected as memories or accumulated as memories. So this bundle of memory is the full conditioning of the mundane mind. Without wisdom, this one can create havoc, because this accumulated memory without right view, without right understanding and wisdom will arise the wrong thought, the egoic mind, that will trigger off the evil roots of selfishness, anger, hatred, aversion, delusion, thereby causing the mundane mind to give meaning, grasp, cling and hold. Then suffering will be the result. Affliction, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, insecurity, phobia, everything will arise. And all this arise because of the evil roots, the self-delusion that condition all this. So meditation is to develop the awareness to see all this, to understand all this, to understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, how your mundane mind arises following the law of dependent origination, and how when you let things be, it ceases, and how you return to the original true mind before the stirring, before the arising of thought process. Observe all this, understand all this clearly, then you will understand what the Buddha's teaching is all about, what he meant by developing the awakening. Without the silent mind, you cannot awaken. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot insight into phenomena. You cannot awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature or existence. All these related profound teaching you cannot understand. You need mindfulness. You need awareness. You need the silent mind to understand. That's why meditation points towards training your mind to be aware, stabilize it, leading to heedfulness. When you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment, as per Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23, as taught by Lord Buddha. For he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas you don't train this mind, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. So basically, the teaching is very simple when you understand. And with this understanding, you proceed and develop the meditation. You will understand many things, you will progress, you will become different. So remember, just relax, maintain awareness. Don't have to do anything else, just silence everything until that thing becomes very stable. Then just silence to observe, to understand. The understanding will arise by itself. Without this silent mind, you can never develop any understanding. Without the silent mind, the opposite will happen. The thinking mind will arise. The mundane mind will arise. And that one only gives rise to knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge cannot free the mind. Knowledge can give a lot of idea to the mind. But idea is not wisdom. Idea is not truth. Idea cannot solve your problem. cannot really understand the reality, the existential reality. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate on your own. I will send the alarm now, 30 minutes. After that, when the 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And these are the mind state you have trained. You need to carry this mind state into life, into existence, and develop the stability of daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Then your meditation will progress. Okay. As we create causes and conditions, good and evil becomes intermingled. So this is nature's law based on the moral causation, or what we call law of karma, because there is this wholesome and unwholesome mental state involved. So when we arise, then we are actually creating causes and conditions, whether good or evil, it becomes intermingled. So what is important is when you understand this law, when positive causes join with positive condition, naturally we will be on the right course. This is very true. But the problem is, how do we arise positive causes, and how do we have positive condition? Positive condition must be cultivated before. Your merits, your parami, your good karma. Human who don't understand, they call it luck. They say, wow, you're very lucky, you're very blessed. Actually, based on nature's law, the law of karma, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So there is no such thing as luck, technically. But for our convenience, when we communicate, we use this word, oh, you're very lucky, you're very blessed, oh, you got good parami. But all this, you need wisdom to arise them. You need Dhamma understanding to arise them. That's the reason why to see causes and conditions is one of the strong attributes of a cultivator. The cultivator who has done the cultivation will understand all this. What constitutes positive condition? That's why you have cultivated them, you have perfected them, you have developed understanding. You are very confident about life. You don't have to worry about life. Everything will just be the way it is. It's just like among us spiritual friends or Kayamita, when we travel on spiritual trips, we know everything has its causes and conditions, and everything will echo and flow and arise at appropriate condition. So because we are Kayamita, we have done our part to arise the causes and conditions. And the beauty about Dhamma cultivation is every session, before we start, we have our pre-puja to remind us of the teaching and to remind us of the importance of taking refuge, paying respect, chanting the salutation, renewing our 5 precepts. Then recalling to mind all the special offerings, the great meanings of all these offerings, then how we invoke power, merits, and wholesomeness for all these causes and conditions to arise. Then as we go through the whole puja and the study or the discussion topic, or even cultivation, meditation, we develop the other meritorious action. So basically, we are there to cultivate a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits. In fact, all the 10 meritorious actions that are possible are covered when you go through a proper spiritual teachings or spiritual session, like our Dhamma session, Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, even whatever spiritual trip, meditation retreat, or even our house dana and all these things. These are very wholesome. Then when we end our session, we also share merit, transfer merits. Then we invoke the protection of Dharma protectors, devas, and nagas of mighty power to join us, to rejoice in this wholesomeness. We share merits with them. Then we seek their blessings to arise the causes in community so that they can long protect the sasana. And we as Dharma practitioners are part of the sasana because we help to propagate and maintain the sasana, the teaching, because we are cultivators of the way. We are kayanamitas, Dharma practitioners. So the devas, in return, they will protect you, give you their blessings. So Dharma protector will protect you, because when they protect you, they protect the Dhamma, the sasana. So all this understanding are the things that give rise to good condition, positive condition. And when you cultivate, you follow the advice of the Buddha, you avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, then you perfect yourself, you cultivate your mind, you purify your mind to develop wisdom so that you can be a blessing to all. You can free and liberate your mind, help people. So all these are the causes and conditions that we introduce while we come to this existential world to live our life. We develop the Dhamma cultivation, the Dhamma understanding. Then we plant the causes and conditions for all this to become possible. We make aspiration. We make adhittan. We develop all the what they call vows. And we make the determination. So all these are causes and conditions for us to develop the good condition for things to arise. So like what the commentaries stated in the Essence of Infinite Meaning book. When positive causes, when you introduce them, join with positive condition that you already have, naturally, you will be on the right course. Your life will be taken care of. Everything will go your way. So these are very important understanding. But if you do not cultivate, do not have the parami, do not train yourself, you choose to be heedless, then the opposite will happen. Then what happens is, if you plant the negative causes, then it joins with your negative karma or condition that you have heedlessly developed in the past. They will lead to disastrous consequence. They will lead your mind away from the right course. Then you will have problems living life. It will lead to downfall, coming negativity, suffering, affliction. Although our nature is inherently good or wholesome, if we have formed bad affinity with people, or if we have been heedless in the past and planted bad seeds, the bad seeds will reproduce and prolong these bad karmic connections. Whether we create positive or negative causes and conditions, they will be reproduced in life after life. So law of karma is very powerful. You must abide by it, otherwise you will suffer. It will cause you a lot of affliction. So living in this world, we are exposed to both good and evil. If we are around virtuous people, we will follow what is good. If we are around heedless and foolish people, we will follow what is evil. That's the reason why the Buddha advises all as cultivators after our Dhamma session. We invoke power of merits to arise a causing condition for us to avoid the foolish and the heedless. Meet out with the wise and the enlightened one, so that enlightenment can be realized in the here and now. So that is basically the reason for his advice. If you don't make this aspiration, you will not be able to do it in real life. So this aspiration through evoking power of merit is very powerful. But as I explained before, making the aspiration alone is not enough, because you may use the word avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet with the wise. But have you cultivated the understanding of who are the foolish, who are the heedless? And do you recognize who are the wise ones? If you don't have this understanding, you can go and make aspiration, no point. Just like the example that I given to you all when we go through the life of the Buddha. After the Buddha became fully enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, actually many people met him, especially the first merchant, who saw him very calm, very, very good demeanor, so was attracted to the Buddha. And he asked him a very sincere question. You look very calm, very serene, very tranquil. May I know who is your teacher? The question was very sincere, and the Buddha, being the Buddha, he answered it sincerely too. He said, I had no teacher. The moment he replied that way, the merchant perceived it with negativity. How can somebody be so arrogant? How can you not have teacher to guide you? Because the merchant cannot understand. What the Buddha discovered or realized is not from the two teachers that taught him. Alarai Udaka, who taught him all the jhanas, the meditative training, they didn't teach him the Dhamma. He realized the Dhamma on his own. That's why he answered him, I don't have any teacher. So that merchant could have made the aspiration, and the aspiration come true. You meet up with the Buddha, the wisest among the wise ones, but because he couldn't recognize who the Buddha is, who the wise one is. That's why all this understanding are very important. So there was a sort of a joke. After I shared this, one of my kayamita, he told me, Pratyavati, you are right. He said, I must make sure I recognize, then not only recognize, follow. He said, after that, follow. Develop the faith and follow. He said, recognize and don't follow, no use. So when you make your aspiration, you adjust a bit. That's why I teach you all those things. The Buddha said avoid all evil, but you must expand on it, how to do it. Means you must understand what constitutes evil. Then you must develop mindfulness to see them, the evils, in order for you to have the ability to avoid all evil. That's why even the first advice to avoid all evil need mindfulness, need understanding of pariyatti, to understand what constitutes evil. And you need to reflect on them and expand on it to develop the second turning, wisdom, so that this understanding stabilizes, so that when you come to this world, you understand who are the foolish and the heedless. Otherwise, you will just go astray. Because human beings are drawn by the senses, they are craving. And because of your karmic conditioning, you are never serious about the cultivation and developing the understanding of what constitutes evil. You like to be with the heedless. You like to be with the foolish. Because a lot of fun, a lot of joy can do a lot of nonsense in life. So because of that, you create karmic affinity with such people and you like to be with them because they give you joy and give you fun. Whereas the serious cultivator is different. When they understand all this, when the nature comes, for me, I can see it when I was young. When my nature arise within this existential world in the year 1954 onwards, even when I was very young, my mind different. I can understand things differently. And my nature knew I'm different. Then when I see people, I see society, I become very different. I don't get myself entangled because I know what I like, I know what I don't like, and I know who to avoid. I cannot be with those people, even gangsters. I told you before, I shared before. My elder brother got trouble with them also, but I don't have problem. They never come to me also. And I don't like to be with such people. I like to be alone. I like to walk alone. I like to contemplate. Of course, I have friends. And I like to play those games that I like to play. I like to watch people playing chess. I like to play badminton. I like to play musical instrument. Those are the interests I pick up. I like to study. I like science, technology, geography. And very naturally, all those things I like. And I like engineering. I don't know why. Since young, that career has been in my mind. That's why my life is very straightforward. And it all these are possible and it can arise because when I develop the understanding of the Dhamma, when I make connection with my nature, then all this I realize I inherited them. Then I came to understand. No wonder it can be this way. That's why the understanding that I able to draw on from my karmic nature, my spiritual nature, allow me to see all this and understand all this. Then the causes and conditions that arise in life, how I meet with those people that I supposed to meet with and have affinity with, it just happened. Then when I was young, I supposed to witness things and see things and experience certain things. It happened. And when it happened, my nature knows there must be a reason for this. How come I can see this? I can understand this. And how come it manifests when I was young? Like the out-of-the-body experience. Then my mind is so different. When I was very young, I hardly got any thought. There was clarity, and my mind is very different from normal people's mind. Then it get defiled when I was brought up at another place near Alaska, when my father decided to go back and do medical shop business there. But she actually quite lucky. She good karma. Received commission that time. Social welfare lottery. You only have to sell a few tickets. One of the tickets came out second prize. That time it was a Singapore social welfare lottery ticket. And that time money was very big. And the commission came to $5,000 at that time. $5,000 is a lot of money. I think it's easily I think nowadays it's easily 500,000. So because of that, the shop owner was so kind, he gave to my father half, because it's actually my father's uncle. So from there, he bought the shop lot in Alostar. And the shop lot only cost you 200 ringgit at that time. Just imagine, buy a shop lot of 200 ringgit. That time, plantation, rubber estate. That time, maybe no palm oil. Paddy field. Paddy field was only prime land, 300 ringgit per relong. Relong is about 3/4 acre in Alostar. And the plantation, rubber plantation, is only 200 ringgit. That time money was very big. So all this are possible. That's why it's meant to be the condition. Then I went back there. And because I went back there, that time I was second eldest. Then my parents and my father especially, he knew without education, life is very tough. That's why he emphasized on education. Then he saw during the British, everything is in English. So he decided to have a good idea to discuss with his good friend who is also nearby the shop, also Hakka from China, because they were very close. Your children, your son and my son, same age, going to school soon. Where you want to send him? Normally they were sent to Mandarin school, Chinese school. Then he suggests to that friend, he said, why not we send to English school so that we can have somebody who can read letter from the government department and all this thing, so that we can understand what the government wants us to do and all this thing. So that was the reason why they sent me, the only child in my family of 9, to English school. And it's meant to be coming. Well, my nature wants to be English educator in this line so that I can teach and share in this way. That's why they sent me to the best English school in Alostar. And that's how my nature came out. Everything just fall into place. You may think it's like, cannot be, what a coincidence, nothing to do with coincidence. But I look back, I know, my nature know. Otherwise, I cannot be in those schools and mix with those group of people. My classmates, all they are different. And I won't become an engineer like what I am today if I have not gone to that school. And a lot of things is meant to be. That's why nature is very beautiful. It's not for you to say you must have your Dhamma understanding, past cultivation, very good karmic nature and spiritual nature for you to have this type of condition and understanding for you to stand out, to be different. So this is what I saw through my own life. That's why when you have the Dhamma, everything is different. The spiritual world is not what you think, not what normal people think. It's really wonderful, amazing, and very, very beautiful. So all this, hopefully later on, you all can develop the same understanding too, because these are very beautiful understanding that can make your life different, that can allow you to have different understanding of life. That wisdom, when they unfold, is priceless. Money cannot buy. You cannot find it in the field of knowledge. You cannot receive them through the thought process. You must have the Dhamma, the coming past, the inheritance. Otherwise, this life, because of your parami, because of the sasana, determine, aspire, set your destiny in life, straighten it, plant the seed of bodhi, aspire, determine strongly through faith and understanding, invoke power of merits, for causes and conditions for this understanding to arise, life after life, whenever you have to come or you choose to come. So all this can become possible. So this is the sharing that I added for your understanding. Hopefully it can help many of your parameters. So I will go back to the commentary. We will read on. When we are among people, we must observe them and discern their quality. This is very true. This is what I do in life. Even when my children go to school, kindergarten or actually primary school, I told them, you go there to just do a few things. You try your best, you give your best, you learn the science, the math, the language, then observe. Observe your teacher, observe yourself, observe your classmate, all the thing. Then you will understand where that is what life is all about. So that you can have this memory and imprint when you grow up. Then you can understand why these are important. You are not there to score 100 marks, top the class and become like very good at knowledge or intellect. But you don't have life. You don't understand what is life. You don't really live. You don't really experience. That's why I told them, no need to give pressure to yourself. You try your best. That's it. Your life, you decide how you want to live it. You try your best. That's it. Because life is an understanding. If I try my best, I give my best. That's it. Because it's my life. If I don't give my best, who suffer? That form and mind will suffer. Because if you become heedless, indolent, lazy, and all those things. These are the negative quality of a non-cultivator. The quality of a cultivator is different. They will not force their children to do things that is inappropriate. That's why my parents also never forced me. I know sometimes they have certain preference that I become a doctor. That one I can say, but they never force me. Why? Because I never forced my children to study the course that they don't like. I gave them the freedom of choice, the understanding, and whatever that I need to help them to develop understanding and expose them. I do my best. And what I can give, I give my best. So these are the things that you evolve out through cultivation. Then when you do this, in future when you come, you will have parents who will know how to give you all this. That's why I don't have problem with my childhood life. I have good parents, even though they are not rich, not wealthy. They are just normal people. My dad used to tell me, he came over from China, 8 years old, with nothing. And he just followed the British, the ship, and came over then. Because the father was already here, my grandfather. He was with the uncle's medical shop. Then they received him. That's how he came and he survived. 8 years old, he didn't even have any education when he was in China. Then my grandfather knew not right. When you come over without education, a lot of things you cannot do. So my grandpa was very good. My father told me at the age of 11, actually he's good karma. Before the Japanese World War, a few months before the World War started, my grandfather insists, send my father back to study at least 1 or 2 years of education in China. At that time they make a little bit of money. Right? So my father went back to China. I think he told me he was 11 plus years old. Then the war started. So he was trapped there. He cannot come over. He had to wait until the war end. And by the time the war end, I think it was 4 or 5 years later. Then only he came home. That time he was already 17 to 18 years old. That's why after he came over. Oh, sorry. When he came over, he already married. That time they got married very early. Then after that, he became quite successful. Then he decided to apply for my mother, my elder brother, and my grandmother to come over. Well, my grandpa was with him here already. So that's how it happened. Then when my mother came over here, only give birth to me. I supposed to be born here. Meant to be. Everything just fall into place. That's why these are karmic condition, causes and conditions that you can look back, reflect, contemplate, and you will know why existence is like that, life is like that. Everyone is different. Then when you look at life, when you have the wisdom and the understanding after you connect, you meditate and you inherit, you can see the whole picture very clearly. That's why after that I can understand why individual human beings are like that, why the world is like that, and how Paramita came to my class and how I met people whom I supposed to meet. So all this become very clear. That's why to be a true cultivator, you must have wide understanding or wisdom of causes and conditions. You will be able to sense them, feel them, observe them, and understand them. So this advice is very good, huh? Bear in mind. When we are among people, means in society, in life, we must observe them, means mindful, aware, and discern their qualities so that you know who are the heedless, who are the foolish, so that you can avoid them. If a person's speech and action truly befit people, we should look upon them as role model to emulate. Those who only seek to benefit themselves without consideration of others or of future consequence should be example for us of how not to behave. So selfish people you can see, deluded people you can also see, heedless people you can also see. We also witness violent people, unreasonable people. So this is life, this is society, this is existence. That's why when we are exposed to life, we learn many things. I always agree with this sentence. When one of my teachers say life itself is a meditation, I straight away got it because I fully agree. I saw that very clearly. Without life, there is no meditation. Life itself is the real meditation. It's in life that you experience all this. Relationship arise within existence. If you don't live life, you can never have relationship. Without relationship, you cannot see yourself, you cannot see others, you cannot understand what is going on. You cannot understand truth, you cannot see the reality of life and existence. So relationship is very important, not only between fellow living beings, relationship between environment and yourself, man and the environment. There is a synergy, there is a relationship, because we are one with nature. So man and environment is one. Man and nature is one. Then among living beings, not only human beings, you have your own interdependent karmic affinity and connectivity. So all this is Dhamma. Then you can see clearly the nature's law unfolding. That's why I like science, I like technology, I like geography. All this, because this subject relate to me very well. And my mind is different. I cannot believe things. I can only develop the understanding that I don't have to believe. Then from the understanding, I live. That's why I can never get myself into believing anything, even what my mother do. The Chinese traditional, what we call rites and ritual or Chinese tradition. Their tradition is very superstition. Their what they call actually it's called tradition. Tradition is not Mandarin German. Tradition, 传统, because we all our dialect in China, we have our own tradition, our own belief system, and our Chinese history is very rich, 5,000 years of Chinese history. And my father liked to tell me all those 三国演义 and all the China's history and all those things. Because I didn't go to the Chinese school, Mandarin school, and I don't know all these things, even the Kongming one. But very strange, my father liked all these stories, and he read them, and he shared with me, although I'm English educated, until I know the name of the committee and all those things. That's why I can relate to all those. So I had this exposure. Then when I grew up, when they make the show about the Sanko and yours, I can understand that since a big part of the, that was an amazing thing. Then about Kongzi, Laozi, I like to read them out because I knew these are great philosophers with a lot of understanding. Then they have their teaching, Lu Jia, Dao Jia, Fo Jia. So all these are very beautiful Chinese traditional teachings and religion. So from my karmic conditioning, I was able to have all this exposure and understanding is where it's meant to be. That's like the roots. And I have been born many lives as Chinese, as monks in the Mahayana tradition too. So all this are because of past cultivation, parami, and understanding. So hopefully with this sharing, it can motivate you all and let you all have a bigger understanding, wider scope of understanding of what cultivation means. Cultivation is not just focus on Dhamma, focus on meditation, then neglect life. No, in fact, life itself play the biggest role in cultivation. Without life, there is no real cultivation. That's why daily mindfulness in daily life is the real cultivation, sati sampajana. And mindfulness of four posture, mindfulness of all action or movement in the present moment. This is how you train yourself, to see others, to see nature, to develop understanding of the nature's law, the spiritual law. Okay, we go back to the sharing. I have to break off for toilet break already. I just finished off. Yeah, this part is a bit more. Those who only seek to sell benefit or to benefit themselves without consideration of others or of future consequence should be example for us of how not to behave like them. They are a reminder for us to heighten our heedfulness or vigilance and adhere more closely to precepts and cultivation. As Kongzi, Confucius said, in a group of three, I will find my teacher. I will choose the good qualities that I see and emulate them. And with the bad quality, I see, I will correct myself. We should know that even someone with negative behavior can teach us by example. So we should be grateful for the mistakes others make, which remind me to be vigilant. So this is the author's way of learning all this and Confucius' way of developing the understanding. But and look at it differently, differently. Because like Master Chen Hua, my refuge teacher, he actually has a very good way. He said, when we interact with people, he said, this deluded heedless and unreasonable people, people who are not easy to be with, they are our greatest teacher. If you don't have condition to interact with them and confront them, you can never know whether you have developed the understanding or not, the cultivation or not. So sometimes, if it's meant to be, if condition arise, it's a good test. Because they are like your good knowing advisor. They are the one that actually can test you, but nobody else can test you. That's why sometimes our own children, of course, this one refer to those who are still under training and in the course of cultivation, because they don't have the understanding to invoke power, merit, aspiration for a good family unit and all those things. Then when they come, they will have children that are very naughty, very demanding and very unreasonable. Some are coming dead. So most people get entangled. But sometimes as cultivator, you still haven't perfected that aspect. When you meet up with this type of karmic condition that you have, it's good actually. Like Shen Ho always say, whatever that happened in life, initially when you look at it, it's like very negative already. Oh, like it's going to bring about a lot of karmic negativity, a lot of problem already. He said, don't worry, don't panic, is it? He said, whatever you confront, the outlook of it may not be good. But if you perceive it with wholesomeness, you don't perceive it with negativity, then you follow Noble Eightfold Path. It will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. So all this, I fully agree. He speaks in Mandarin, which is very good. He said something like that. I cannot remember the whole word. He said, whatever happened is like, 一个不好的起头, but he said, if you don't perceive it in negativity, I forgot the Mandarin word already. If you can perceive it with wholesomeness, then you follow Noble Eightfold Path, it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Then you will not only benefit from it, you will learn from it. And it will help you to develop your cultivation and your parami. So that is a better way. And when you observe life, you can see a lot of this thing happening. Of course, the Buddha also teaches there are things that you need to avoid. Avoidance, the defilement. Otherwise, that's why you have to avoid the foolish and the heedless and all those things. But if causes and conditions is such, you have to go through during cultivation for people who has not perfected the understanding, you can also make use of it to turn things around. So this is what I want to share. The misery, you know what is a miser, stingy, and greedy develop a heart of giving. So this is the advice from the adapted verse. Whereas if you are having this arrogant type of character, the arrogance must develop a heart of upholding precepts. These are the skillful ways of changing over. If you have this character that is very negative, means you are very stingy, you are a miser, you are very greedy, selfish. So in order to help you transform, you must develop the understanding why you need to have a heart of giving, generosity. So all this, you must listen to Dhamma to have the correct people advising you. And when you listen with understanding, you are willing to give up the old way and change your world for the better. Yeah, by doing so, it improves your life. It helps you to change your life for the better. Similarly, you have very proud or arrogant type of behavior or character, then you should develop a heart of upholding precepts. When you uphold precepts, you cannot be arrogant, because you cannot become angry. You cannot say all those harsh words and all those things. So upholding precepts is very good. You undertake the training rule not to kill, not to harm, not to tell lie, not to deceive, cheat, misappropriate. So all these are people who are arrogant. Especially nowadays, you can see them existing in the society. And when you deal with politics, you can see these politicians, sorry, not all, most of them, they have all this arrogant type of attitude. And yet, they are not shy. They almost speak as if they are above the law. Yeah. So a lot of these things do happen in life. Okay, so we open up for meditation reporting. And at the same time, Q&A, you got any question?
Bertie,我想share一个上个礼拜我go through的一个experience.
可以啊。因为
那时是在 work from home，
然后就上个礼拜就
go through 了，然后 customer 就 call 我，哇，一听到那个电话就 react， 哇，那个 negativity， 然后就整个哦，但我 aware 我没有你看到那个 movement， but 没有去 react， 就过后就跟他 settle 那个 case。
Yeah,
then after that, the next day, 又 another incident, 又一样，又是听到电话了以后，哇，那个 talk 哦又来，然后就 fear.
Okay.
Before 是anger, but the next day 就变成 fear. 那我也没有去理他，我还是去 settle， 去帮他们做完东西。
Yeah.
后我就在我过后我就想，哎，的话我很。All the while 我跟我的顾客是 very good 的，我他们要我做东西，我都 fully 跟他们 settle。但我很奇怪，为什么 continuous 这两个 case 我会有这样的 reactions？ 然后我就然后我就去我就一直那个时候我就觉得很奇怪，那个 talk 就是讲，哎，为什么会这样的这样的 emotions？
Yeah.
过后
already sensitive and mindful, that's how you can see. Continue to describe, then I will advise you accordingly.
Yeah. Then 过后 the next day, 我就 on the way, 我去打 vaccines 的时候，我就在驾车。然后我就在想，这两个 incident happen, 它到底要有什么的 understanding 给我。然后我就 silent 我自己，我就在 recall 回这整个的 happening。然后我就突然间我看到我就看到我一听到了那个电话，那个 senses 一听到了那个电话了以后，那个 emotion 那个 emotion 那个什么那个 negativity 的 thought arise， 那 arise 了以后，它 followed by 那个sensation。
Yeah, that movement, that
对那个
we call reaction of mind. Yeah.
Then 我就突然间我就我在驾车的时候我就整个我想 usually 我讲以前通常我们如果是mindfulness 不够的话，是 immediately 你就becoming 了，你就 fall into it. But during 这两个 cases, 我 aware， 但是我没有 react， 我还是跟他们 settle。所以那时我在驾车的时候
you know the mind stir, understand or it stir, so it's okay because like I used to explain in the early days, initially, the habitual tendency are still there. Last time, the habitual tendency is worse because you cannot do anything to it. Because it still come out. But it doesn't mean you don't have the understanding. But you need to go through that process of stabilizing the understanding until finally it cannot stir, cannot come out, cannot arise any of it. So these are the what we call conditions that are still possible to make you, like you say, the first one is first like aversion, slight aversion or dislike. The second one is fear. Because, like I say, life itself is our greatest teacher. These are your habitual tendency, the fine aspect. Because most of the case, like you say, your other client, you can accept them and move and resolve them. Yeah, these are not the what we call serious type of case anymore. But when you confront those type of case that are like can actually make you react, miss, there are certain habitual tendency that you have you didn't realize. Like last time, Chewie's case, you talk about certain thing is like stepping on her tail and she bosong one, you're angry and react. So your this client must have created that thing that you used to, like when people do this to you, you don't like, maybe you might have advise them and yet they come and complain and do all this. But all this you can slowly develop the understanding and root it out and let it like subside. How do you do it? That is more important. Even the fear is like when certain client come and tell you like you have made certain mistake. So it's a normal tendency for most people, even very experienced worker or what, because really make mistakes. Sometimes you overlook certain things. But the understanding of it is very important. If it make mistake or what, for me, after I develop the stability or understanding, for me, it's very simple. I thank that person. I say, oh, yeah, sorry about that. Really, my mistake. I admit. Willing to admit, because mistake is a mistake. So what? It's work, as I said or not. Sometimes we overlook things. But most of the time, we no longer do all those things. But sometimes it's our style. Sometimes it's because of certain condition. Then for your case, this tool is actually a blessing in disguise to come back and test you and let you develop a deeper understanding. Don't try to reason again using the thought and Dhamma knowledge, like say, feeling, condition, craving, and want to cut. Forget about that. Because Yoni So Manasikara is like that. When you have, means you have. When it's stable already, means it cannot affect you anymore. So that's why I always advise you, the stability of it is very important. Not until it's very stable, very clear. Then you can act. You act because there is no more egoic mind. Because there is understanding. The former mind made mistakes. So on. It's nothing, no big deal. Why is there a need to conceal this style of thing or to hide this style of thing or not to face it? The truth is the truth. Condition like that, things will be like that. So we accept the reality. Then when we accept, we apply an overlay faux pas, it get resolved. The most important thing is resolve it amicably to an understanding, not to blame, not to avoid and try to sideline things and all those things. These are all the very fine defilement working behind the mundane mind that is still trying to conceal all these things. So cultivation is not what normal people think. Normal people will use the thought to analyze, like your case, how come after so long, normally it doesn't arise anymore. You can deal with it. You just resolve it. So, but this time, it happened. Luckily, you share it. Then I can advise you. That's why the stability of it take a while, because all this habitual tendency, even the author of this book, Zheng Yan Hua Shi, he know habitual tendency is not easy to root out. It sometimes take very long cultivation of deep understanding. And the deep understanding must reach the level of no mark. When you reach the level of no mark, then only you can resolve all this. Because when you have reached the level of no mark, there is no more a mark of a self-cultivating, no more of others. It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness following nature's law. 一切如微风，如梦幻泡影. So all this understanding was surfaced. There is no more the egoic mind trying to be right, trying to protect itself, trying to avoid all this. If you had the egoic mind, it was stuck. It was stuck. Even the subtle habitual tendency, is the first thing is to stir first. But then you have the Dhamma. That's why you understand. You still go ahead and help that person and resolve it. So that is the way to do things. But you have to reflect and contemplate. How come this time it still has that movement? Then you will understand. This is a form of mind. What is a form of mind? It is a phenomenon. It has its senses. It has its consciousness, like a very loud lightning. The moment it strikes, if it's something unknown, unaware, initially, normally, there is fear at the heart, straight away. But when I contemplate and reflect, then I understand that whatever happened, my awareness is that, boom, of course, no sound, my awareness is there. Then that fear, I realize, doesn't arise at all. Then I was asking myself, oh, this is beautiful. Dhamma can be like that. There's an awareness for you. The moment you are aware, there is no thought. It just stays there. So understanding is very important. So later on, not only this loud thunder, whatever you perceive through the senses, you have understand. 一切有为法. We are its conditioned number. Conditioned number will condition things to arise. And when they arise, that is the reality. That is suchness, the way things are. So accept. Whatever happened, accept. The mind free. Then the acceptance is wisdom. The acceptance is understanding. It's not I accept. Understand. There is no more I. It's the understanding that the form and mind is not you. Form and mind can have whatever movement or what. But when the wisdom is there, it stops. Stable. And that one takes a while, the stability of it. You have to develop the understanding until that training is very, very different. The stability of the understanding, that wisdom, that is the one that can root out. Always remember, nothing free your mind except wisdom. So form and mind has its own behavior within the conditioned world. That's why as we go through life, as we age, as our senses deteriorate, our understanding never leaves us. But the form and mind is the form and mind. It goes the way of nature. There is nothing you can do. That's why you have to endure. You have to endure. You have to use your wisdom to subdue all affliction you have to. Be able to subdue means bring it under control. Understand? You are not forcing it or what. You use the wisdom to develop the understanding to accept their reality. Because the consciousness trapped within the body as you age, as you go through disease or suffering or what, the sensation that arise, especially sickness, injury, this is all, they will be there. But the wisdom that understand can accept the reality, you can be at peace with it. That's it. Then when you are able to be at peace with it, no matter how severe that thing is or what, it can just silent and be with it. Because no reality, the form and mind is just the form and mind. Ultimately, it will cease. Then everything will return to its true nature, its original state. Then it ceases. We call it parinibbana or whatever. But before the five aggregate of form and mind cease, the process or the reality of that form and mind, the phenomenon, will continue to manifest. Because this is a condition world. So what we are moving in is more than what you describe. What you describe is the work environment or this thing. But later on when you confront death, approaching death or what, that's why my teacher always say, you must know how to die before you die. And that is a very powerful understanding and statement. And my teacher was lucky because I died before. I told you when I was young, my consciousness came out. Then it get disconnected from my nature. Then I want to go in, I cannot go in until I created that movement. I just give it a push, then it went in. Then I realized my consciousness connected back to my physical body. Then I gain control of my form and mind. That's why I know this form and mind, when it's separate from the physical, human being called dead or death. It's just separation of consciousness from the form. Then my consciousness came out. I can still recall. Then I saw everything. I saw my body down there. Then I heard my brother coming in, saying all those things. Then I call him, I talk to him, he cannot hear me. Well, my mind was out. My consciousness was out. Then only I realized I need to go into the body to regain control, to become a human being. Then I, when my consciousness went in, I was so surprised, I can't go in. I can't go in. Then because I was still so young, that time I was only, I think, 8 or 9 years old. So I don't know what it is, but I know how to give it a push, pop, then I went in. It's like very natural to me. Then I went in. Then I realized I was not dreaming. That thing that happened was a reality. Then I straight away came up and ran after my brother who came in and walked out. I asked him, did you just now came to the room and say all those things and did all those things, then you come? Then he looked at me. Yeah, how do you know? You were sleeping like a log there. I said, you don't worry about how I know. I just want to confirm that you were there. He said, yeah, I was there. Then I said, enough. Well, I just want to confirm that I was not hallucinating or dreaming. It was a reality that happened. That's how I come to know what mind is, what consciousness is, and know what death is. Nothing dies. The consciousness cannot die. That one is energy. But that one is also impermanent, not real. It has its energy. It will dissipate. That's why we call it, when a person dies, that consciousness, the random of consciousness, they will actually leave the body, come out. That one actually is energy. It exists. Then if you know how to make use of it, you can. Then that one also can, because those who die without wisdom and understanding connected to it, they will have the delusion, the heedless, what they call conditioning, the memory or this thing, the wrong view, and they continue to exist like spirit form and other things. That's why all these are the various rhyme of existence that can arise. Then you understand all this when you develop the meditation correctly and do it correctly. So this part is an added song. Hopefully you can understand now. So this time maybe it will be more clear to you. Don't try to like use the Dhamma to understand how come when I was aware, then you say, normally the feeling arises first. That one is theory. You try to like use the theory to explain. Forget about it. Once you can feel the fear or the aversion or the dislike, means the mind has stirred, the mind has stirred. That's it. Nothing wrong. Yeah, these are habitual tendency. But the moment your wisdom, yoniso manasikara, come back, you must have the understanding to deal with it. Then you must reflect and contemplate until very clear that it's not a being. Then only it will not stir the egoic mind later on. That's why the no mark must be realized. So all these are the very much deeper and subtle practices and training that normal Buddhist cultivator don't understand, because all this is not in the book, not written anyway. You have to go through the training on your own, understand it and see it. Okay, so
Yeah. 他这个还是一个 habitual tendency 来的
那个时候我就我这一次他
arise 的时候没有像以前这样 strong
但他还是有
not so strong but 还有在 所以那个时候 after 我一直到这个是 habitual tendency 的时候我就 then 我这几天就一直在 一直在跟我就一直在 contemplate 在 record 讲一定要去 stabilize 就很像 Brandon 你刚才讲的那个 understanding 要去 stabilize but 我觉得这个 incident 从我之前我的老板在骂我到现在我可以感觉到他是很 strong 的，一直慢慢来到比较细。 但是如果他来到越细的话，就越考功夫了。对，他来到越细就越考功夫。所以他这个 incident， 我觉得他是 arise 来给我去。
Yeah, it's a blessing in disguise. Right? It's like a condition to train you. It's a test that surface. That's why all these subtle ones that you still need to go through, you will experience them, you will go through them. That's why I say, cultivator, you can never lie to yourself. Because whether that movement is there or not, if you are mindful, you are aware, you will know. There is no way you can lie. If you have rooted it out, means you have rooted it out. Like the Buddha said in the Satipatthana Sutta, even the five mental hindrances, he said, when you do the four foundation of mindfulness correctly, then you will reach that final understanding. He said, after you have trained yourself and developed the mindfulness of the five hindrance, mental hindrance, you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Because through mindfulness awareness, you know how it arises. If your mind don't stir, don't react, no more delusion and defilement, the wisdom is very stable, that it will not arise. So initially it will arise, let it arise. Then the second stage is what? When you know how to continue to silence your mind and meditate and just aware, then you see how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be, like fear, like anger, how it ceases. You don't have to do anything in it. True or not? The third way, silence your mind, the anger you realize cease. What does it mean? Means anger was never you. Anger was dependent originating, condition arising. Then you have to use the fourth way to trace the origination factor. How did it arise? Like you're these two cases. The client call, understand? The first case is your habitual tendency or dislike. That's how it's conditioned. Then you know how it arises. Then the right way to meditate is silent. Don't do anything. It exists. Then you know this is dependent originating, condition arising. That's why it has its three characteristics. Impermanent. You attach, keep meaning, it leads to suffering. If you silence your mind and let things be, the true mind returns. Everything is peace, tranquil, stillness. No more problem, no more agitation. So if I know anger is not me, Sankara is anicchang dukkang anatta, then why I go and do anything to it? But you need to trace the wisdom, the origination factor. So you know the origination factor is through your senses. You hear it through the phone call or your staff come and report to you like last time. So when you hear it, that is the sense organ that bring it in. Then how you interpret and perceive that client's words is what is happening in real life, where there is a form and mind. But when there is wisdom, it ceases to be. When yoniso manaskara is there, it ceases to be. But before it's there, you have to trace the origination factor. So you ask yourself, what did he say that conditioned me to react and stir? So what is the origination factor? I cannot accept him for what he is. I cannot accept the words that he's mentioned. Then you trace further, this is your habitual tendency. You have that tendency to react that way. That's why it's always there. Which means your contemplative wisdom and the understanding is not penetrative and not to deal with it, this subtle one. Means the egoic mind that is still there has yet to be rooted out. So you tell yourself, this stability or understanding has to be evolved through multiple understanding. Means like all the Diamond Sutra say, 一切有为法. Everything within the conditioned world is conditioned dhamma, no reality. He no you, he no me. Then only the egoic mind can slowly, slowly be rooted out. 如梦幻泡影, you must contemplate it. Dreamlike, an illusion. Then, like a bubble and a shadow, they just come and go. That's why I say, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Whatever arises is the reality. Condition like that, things will be there. Learn to accept. Acceptance. Acceptance is freedom. Then rejoice. Then be sincere. If it's your mistake, admit. Then he's your client. You have to attend to him. You need to say sorry or apologize. Say, if you have forgotten to maybe do certain things that passed the deadline, never mind. Accept it. Oh, really, very sorry. You really totally forgot about your file. Really, it's my mistake. Sorry. Then you continue. Then no more problem, no more fear, no more worry. What we need to understand is apply Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, to resolve issue amicably. So we need people to have that wisdom to arise the understanding so that they can apply Noble Eightfold Path. Means right view leading to right thought, right speech, and the way you communicate and talk to people. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path, right speech, right action, right thought is very important. Then the four right effort to constantly purify ourselves, improve our understanding, and to root out all defilement. So after you have traced the origination factor, then retrospectively with the understanding, you reverse it by rooting it out. And that stability of wisdom need to be emphasized and repeatedly contemplate. That's why my teacher always advised me. We choose contemplate until very, very, very clear. He used this word. Otherwise, you cannot root out. Very clear means the moment it arises, the wisdom is there, gone. No more like last time. Ayo, why I still stir? Why this mind still... The mundane mind without wisdom, without the stability of understanding, will react and say, it's still egoic. Understand? See that? Then, when you have rooted it out, you will know, like the sutra say, Finally, say in the sutta, you will come to know how in the future this unarisen mental hindrance can never arise anymore. You understand?
Mm.
Means you cannot stir your mind anymore. The mental hindrance cannot arise anymore. Your mind cannot be restless anymore. Your mind cannot have fear, doubt, all those things, no more. Means your spiritual faculty already very stable. Your wisdom already very stable. You must have gone through the not only no thought, no mind. Then later on, you can move into no dwelling. All this needs stability and wisdom at different stages of understanding. That's why the Bodhisattva way is a very unique cultivation, very unique way and process. And this way, I don't think anybody else can teach you unless that being is also a great being, very special. Because this style of training and Dhamma, you don't find anywhere. It's not common at all. Hardly anybody really have the understanding. Because awareness itself is already so difficult to understand and penetrate the no thought stage. And to come to this no mark stage is even more difficult, even more rare. So all these are very beautiful. Thank you for bringing up all this. That's why when you are truly yourself sincere, you dare to report all this, then you learn. Then I can share, I can explain all this. This is what Dhamma is. And with this sharing, more and more the Kayamita or cultivator can develop the understanding and move on without any more doubt or what they call unnecessary fear, worry, and like it. Well, a lot of people dare not even speak out. They thought, they have already had the wisdom, the transformation. Then they try to like impress people. Oh, no, my mind cannot stir already. I don't have this fear already. I don't have this reaction already. But the reality is the reality. You cannot lie. When things happen in life, the reality manifests. That's why I say cultivation is such. You cannot lie to yourself. Defilement you have means you have. But to go through the real training that has the understanding and the stability of wisdom to root out, exactly like what the Buddha said in the sutta, you will come to know that it cannot arise anymore. That is the answer. That is the real ultimate understanding. That the form and mind that has the stability of wisdom and understanding only can do it. Otherwise, you cannot do it. So you don't worry. So slowly, all this can happen. Then you will go through and you will develop the understanding. Okay? You can continue.
Yeah, 刚才你的这个 explanation, 其实我也知道当我这几天一直在 recall 的时候，我知道这是很 subtle 的那个
ego
在他在 react to 那个 habitual tendency, but 要去 rooted out 的话，真的是要去 stabilize 那个 wisdom, but 刚才 Bradio 你explain 的这整个的这个explanation 里面啊，我就很多功课要去做的。But 我觉得这一次它的 arise 给我去 learn for the deeper 的那个cultivation。
Yeah.
So 其实我那时我从听到了电话，我 perceive 到我的那个 negativity arise, 我没有 react, 我还是去做工。但是就在这整个的这个 process 的时候，不然就刚才你的 explanation 让我能够，如果我跟着去 stabilize 那个 Unison Manasikara 的时候，我知道这个 是可以 rooted out 的 but it's 它需要时间去 cultivate 哦 but 谢谢你 Brother Teo 不容易真的是不容易、
yeah.
这个 habitual tendency 真的是搞了很久
对
每一次 Brother Teo 我每一次跟你 report 的时候你的 sharing 都能够让我有 deeper 的 understanding、
yeah.
知道怎么样的去 deal因为这个东西我们一定要进去去 cultivate 然后脱了以后从里面去 rectify、
yeah.
然后再去慢慢的一步一步的所以我们会慢慢的越来越 越上手啊
对、
啊、所以 我也是发现到我这一次他的来没有像以前这样 strong、
yeah. 以前学到的
以前他整个就 overtaking 你了
yeah,
yeah. 但这一次来诶我还可以 aware 他来
yeah,
只
是 yeah, yeah.
只是那个
that speed of awareness that understand come back very fast、
mm.
so that is the indication that your wisdom is still there that's why I say that wisdom will surface sometime if it's very stable it will immediately ariseThis, they call it spontaneously prompt you. But in this case, if it has stirred first, then it prompt you, it's still okay because that habitual tendency, certain subtle one or deep rooted habitual thing that we used to do, that one need a while. You need the understanding to be very stable. Then the other thing I mustremind you again always remember nothing free you except wisdom and your purpose is whatever happened that is the way things are suchness that is the reality we are conditioned like that things it has to be like that like the Ichia UFI finally is that reality suchness then your understanding in life isHow to resolve this amicably to Noble Eightfold Path. That's it. Then 你就不会好像去 stir 你的 mind. Because that fear comes from what? 啊出问题了。Understand? Because the egoic mind believe 出了问题吗哎哟我做错了。Form and mind 做错 What is that? Nothing. Because form and mind always make mistake. Never, seldom does it ever.Perfectly never make mistake. Form and mind, everyone that is born into this world make mistake before. But mistake is for us to learn, to correct, to develop understanding. But when it comes to spiritual training, the defilement, that one is no more an excuse. You cannot say, Aiya, form and mind ma. But spiritual understanding, you don't have is you don't have no.You cannot root out means you haven't finalized the stability of it. No. It's no longer like a mundane mistake. No. Mundane mistake can happen, understand? No. Sometimes I also forgot things. Sometimes I also like, miss out certain things. But that is mundane thing, understand? No. But when you are with your clarity of mind, awareness and your wisdom, this thing cannot happen. Because the wisdom is there.But sometimes as you age, certain things happen is because of the condition of your physical. Like your mind may have the wisdom, the understanding, and the alertness, but that physical cannot deliver anymore. It cannot respond anymore. It understands, but it cannot say it out. It cannot explain. It cannot deliver. And a lot of things it cannot do.So you have to accept that reality, the form and mind has to go. Then you let it go. Then you let it cease. That is the wisdom, the understanding part. So the wisdom, nobody can take away from us. That is connected to our form and mind through that nature. And that nature that has that in that life is always there. But the problem is when the form and mind separate, cease,that nature return, then the wisdom also disappear with it. Understand not? It doesn't mean that it's completely gone. It's in your spiritual nature. Understand not? Cultivated already. But you want to inherit it, next time you come, you have to connect early. Connect to your gateway, your nature early. And then only the spiritual perfection or spiritual nature can come back to you. You can inherit them. It's not like karmic nature. The moment you are born, on your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma. No, not like that. Spiritual nature, you need to cultivate. You need to realize the silent mind, the true mind. Then only you can inherit. That is what my nature realized. After 1989, only a lot of things come back to me. Before that, I only know my nature is different. I'm unique, but I don't know what this thing is. Then only I start to understand the nature's law, how all this can be done through adhittan, aspiration, vow, understanding, wisdom, all this fall into place. Then I can recall many things that I never learned this life. If I never learned this life, then how can I understand all this? It's because of my past cultivation, that's why I inherited them. Then I can share all this. Then the understanding just unfolds. From that nature, it come out. It's not from memory. But this life I never learned. Even my teacher, they all never teach me all this. All this understanding come from that nature. They teach me different things. At that time, I need certain things, certain condition manifest. So all this, the cultivator will go through. And this life, because of my nature's understanding, Kayamita or those who have affinity in my nature, you are lucky in the sense that you are blessed because this understanding can be shared with the world because Maitreya came and made the request in the year 2008. I agree to share this understanding. That these are the true Dhamma. He used the word, 请你把正法传下去. Then immediately my nature know what that thing is because before he came and made the request, I already knew this understanding that I have, the world don't have at that time. It's very rare. This is very good. Song, song, sadhu. Okay, you can continue if you want.
应该是没有了。
Yeah,
本来就谢谢你，真的是explanation 给了我很多的这个clear
understanding，去
stabilize 那个 understand 那个
真的是很多时候听多一次这个，听多一次 then write down then cultivate it, develop it, stabilize it. Because this style of advice or teaching, you cannot find other place. Very unlikely.
Actually, 这个很 subtle 的这个 egoic mind， 如果没有个很好的 like 很像 Bertil 你这样子在 guide 我们的话， 真的是不容易。 如果靠我们自己这样子去 break through 的话， 我们要 go through
because you all will revert back to the thought like what you did just now. You try to trace upon contact feeling arrive. Then 你还讲 at the feeling, after that you don't like not affected, then you can still go and do your thing. But actually you knew it's still already. Means it has become that emotion, that aversion and that fear. It already there. That's why I say you are true cultivator. You cannot lie because you aware that it's still there. Then you have to reflect, contemplate, stabilize it. Then I realized after 1989, not long after that, I realized, hey, how come it's so different now? That thing doesn't affect me anymore. Like I told you, the loud music, all those things cannot affect me anymore, even the lightning, whatever. It cannot, it's just aware, poof, finish. It's just with that nature. Then immediately it moved after that. Then no more problem. Then I always have that understanding. Whatever happened within the existential world is just a phenomenal world of consciousness. You need to resolve it on it. No reality on he know you, he know me. For the good of the many. You need to resolve it amicably so that you take care of karma. That's it. Apart from that, no more reality. What you do or you don't do doesn't make any difference. And that is what nature's law is. He know you, he know me. No reality. It's just phenomenal consciousness. Come and go, come and go. He know you, he know me. So how real can it be? The only reality is the present moment, which is so impermanent. They call transient, so transient. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. How real can life be? But there is such thing as life because that is the condition Dhamma within the conditioned world. That's why life can still have its meaning. Form and mind can still live life. But the ultimate understanding of Dhamma is empty, void, no reality. He know you, he know me. That's why the universal characteristic is everywhere. But it doesn't mean everything is not real, then you don't do anything, don't bother, don't live life. No, the understanding is within the conditioned world, there is this nature's law that governs life and existence. There is a law of karma. There is the dependent origination. It has its own reality. That is what life is all about. It has its own reality. That understanding is very beautiful and very profound. Then the form and mind that come can really leave that phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, the life of an enlightened being. And that one is really wonderful, beautiful. And that one can be as real as it can be within the conditioned world. Yeah, it's possible to have those conditioned wisdom and understanding. That's why this nature has lived that type of life since 1989 until now. And everything is so beautiful and meaningful, wonderful. So all these are possible. Yeah? Okay?
I feel today's sharing is a very good reminder for us. It's also like it's kind of like how to say it's like a checklist. It's like, hey, how you do this, how you do that,
Yeah, it's related to career, to job environment issue. So you also, I believe, as a career person, you also must have some incidents of this type of client or colleague or boss who did all this thing and stir your Monday mind.
Need a lot of
understanding.
Understanding, of course,
you need mindfulness, but you need understanding to help you actually fit in and resolve all this.
Especially human issue is really
human relationship, human communication skill and issues.
It's like you assume that, you thought that, everyone is big enough, you should do your part, I do my part. No, it's not like that, no. Even though like they are not fresh grad, no, but they will do it differently. So it's really a lot of, I don't know if it becomes a bit like, like covetousness, but... But I try to, how to communicate with them so that it can, make things work.
Help to resolve issue amicably and develop the communication skill to cooperate and resolve issue amicably. That one is very important. So that is where the application of Dhamma is useful, especially Noble Eightfold Path. You have to train to deliver the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and right effort to constantly train your mind. So all these are part and parcel of the training. Like you say, a lot of work to do, a reminder.
I would say that Brother Song's sharing, how to say, brings up a lot of memories of my career.
Sadhu, yeah.
It shows that what I've been doing, so heedless, Brother Teo.
Now you can see,
so heedless.
Yeah, you are right. It brings back fresh memory of what happened. At that time, your Dhamma not stable, not strong. And you can see how your reaction is and how your own insecurity make your personality very strong, that you say you are in such an environment, construction environment, you have to be strong, and your character, you have to behave that way. But later on, as you develop more Dhamma understanding, you become different. That's how Dhamma can transform a person. So for your case, I think it's very good. You want to share, you can share.
I think that part of my life, I hope has passed.
Definitely.
I'm learning now, Bertil, is a lot of our calamities.
Yes.
I've been sharing is we have to learn the subtleties of our consciousness.
Correct.
And how our mindfulness picks up a lot of our heedlessness.
Yes.
I think that is for me is a more important part of my cultivation.
Yeah. That part actually is a big field of training. Yeah, when you see yourself, when you see your own defilement, your own foolishness and heedlessness, that's how you change, how you learn. Your life, you don't want to have that type of life. That type of life bring about coming negativity and downfall. So our training is to improve our personality, our character, our understanding through following the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. So how much cultivation we have put in to develop the path factor is very important, because that itself is a very major field of cultivation. All the eight path factor, even the first field is a very big field. Even the four right effort, it takes a long time, because that itself is a very major field, the four right effort. Then after that, of course, right thought, right speech, right action. It takes a while, but not so extensive as the four right effort. Remember, the four right effort is a very big field of cultivation. Then, of course, having the understanding after developing the right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and the four right effort, then right living become very easy. Right living is to have your right understanding, means do your duty towards the Dhamma way, means like the Buddha's teaching to the enlightened disciple of right duty is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So you know your duty. That's why you take care of your karma, take care of your form and mind. Then you take care of your other Noble Eightfold Path factor. That is how we do our duty. That's how we avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind. We need Dhamma. So all the other power factors are needed to arise the right livelihood. Means your livelihood must be in accordance with wisdom, following the Dhamma way, following Noble Eightfold Path. Then of course, right mindfulness is a must. Here that is the silent mind, stability of it leading to samadhi. Without these two, you cannot see your department, you cannot develop all the other power factors. It is through the sati samadhi that allow you to see things as they are, develop the wisdom and straighten your view to have right view. Then from right view, everything else starts. That's why you need mindfulness first, the stability. So noble eightfold path cultivation itself is actually a very complete and very wide field. That's why cultivator must spend time to develop it. It's not just intellect knowledge. Oh, I know, right view, right thought. These are knowledge. But
there's so much to learn, right?
Yeah.
Every time I hear your teachings, I go like, "Oh, it's still so much to learn."
Yeah, because once you have,
you know, so little comparatively.
Correct. Once you have it, it's just pariyati, the learning of the teaching. So then putting it to practice, pati-pati is the hard work. That is where they say in Mandarin, xia kung fu, I lo kung fu. That part is the difficult.
Xia
kung fu, you have
still a long way to go.
No problem. It become very natural. When you have your daily religious routine, you already xia kung fu, you already do. You have your bodhisattva vow and all things. This will take you. That's why all this daily religious routine, the daily mindfulness, everything, and the vow, they will take you along. And it become very natural. The first turning, second turning become very natural. You will continuously listen to Dhamma, contemplate, reflect, and you will develop the understanding. And all this, you think I learned one? I never learned. I went through the cultivation. I inherited it. And I saw. That's why I can understand. Then I can share with you. Actually, I never discover all this. This thing was there. It's only when I went through the cultivation, I rediscover it. I realized this is all in the midst of life and nature. That's why this teaching comes from the past understanding that my nature inherited and this life, because of the sasana, it has the structure, everything. Then, of course, the other condition that my nature developed through the vow, then it come and fulfill its vow. Because of my vow, all those that have affinity with my nature, they will come. Then I will share, I will teach. So all this is part and parcel of nature's condition. So they will manifest. Not difficult.
So Pratio, that's why when I do my bodhisattva vow, I make the aspiration that I will meet all the great Buddhas, the patwas, all the great beings, all my teachers.
Yeah,
and I vow to be their disciples and their students. So that I can receive, uphold, understand the Dhamma, and
very good, very good.
Because otherwise, like you say, meet the Buddha, blah blah.
Also cannot recognize
the Buddha, cannot realize, cannot recognize
the worst,
wise one.
The worst thing to happen is someone get angry with him. That is the worst. That's why.
Like just now you said the merchant
didn't recognize him. He thought he's arrogant. He just walked away, smiled and walked. He didn't even make any offering. He just walked away. He thought this one cannot be the real one. So arrogant, he said he got no teacher. But you can understand. He speak the truth. The Buddha speak the truth, but he cannot understand. So a lot of these things, very beautiful. That's why you are on the spiritual path. You can really laugh and see all these things happening. So you have this good mind. That's why you make the resolve. You want to have all this understanding and have cultivate affinity, all these great things, then determine and plant the seed of Bodhi. So that life after life, when you come, you will have all this understanding.
Early in life.
My wife also said.
Yes, that's very important.
A lot of tell me, I tell how I come, I connect early. I can have this understanding early.
Yeah.
Now they are very keen. That's why that they explain. I explained to Susan. Susan also asked. Yeah, Susan. That day one was very good, the sharing, Susan asked.
Yeah.
Very good. Sadhu, huh? Easy.
Sadhu, Bratio. I think I will end it now. It's quite late.
Okay. I think
thank
just
you, fine. Everybody.
Yeah. Sadhu. Yeah. About 10:45. Yeah, we end everything. Huh? So thank you for participating and sadhu to all. Huh? Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu. 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 Sadhu.